That music means it is time for Stroman on Sports, our weekly sports conversation with UNC professor, former player, coach, and sports aficionado, Deborah Stroman, who joins me on the phone today. Deb, happy Friday. How are you?
I am doing well in the midst of the heat wave, but it's good. It's another week. It's another week of interesting sport news and commentary.
Absolutely. Lots going on. I don't know if you watched the Field of Dreams baseball game last night. Lots of interesting discourse around that.
Art Chansky, I've got to give him a call. He's the Red Sox. I'm the Yankees. I thought we had it. Bottom of the ninth. I'm thinking like, okay, here we go. And then that home run.
Yeah. It was. I was shocked at how many home runs were happening. It wasn't like it was that much smaller of a ballpark. But man, it must have just been. That's also where the baseball game is these days. And I thought it was very fitting. A lot of discourse happened through the game on social media. Is some folks being like, "Oh my gosh, Field of Dreams! What a great movie! You know, steeped in all this nostalgia about baseball." And then other folks, particularly folks I follow who are black, being like, never really cared for that movie. It's nostalgic about a time in baseball where black athletes weren't playing. And so I thought it was perfect that Tim Anderson, who is just such an outspoken and such a fun baseball player, is the one who hits the walk-off against the Yankees. But yeah, I'm sure it stings a little bit, Deb.
Well, it does, but there are so many storylines, especially with thinking about Chicago professional baseball. And people who are following racial equity in sports and live or have connections with Chicago know the interesting dynamics in terms of the White Sox being on the south side of Chicago, which is where many brown and black people live, and the Chicago Cubs being on the north side, where many white people live. And so there's this allegiance towards the Sox. But I think most people know who follow professional baseball that the Cubs and White Sox continue to fall short. And I know that city wants a championship one day. So I'm happy for the Sox, but I am devastated that the Yankees lost that game.
It was a perfect script in terms of how that game could have played out for people's interest. And it was, I would say it was good theater on the part of MLB to actually put on a game in the middle of cornfields in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I wanted to turn to a topic that you wanted to make sure that we covered today, which is back here in North Carolina, actually involving high school sports, which you and I don't talk about all that much, Deb, but there's a piece of legislation that's moving through the North Carolina General Assembly. I believe it largely started in the Senate, that's looking to make some changes in the governing body of high school sports in North Carolina. They're looking to dissolve the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, which has been around for a very long time and is independent from the state government. And this bill looks to dissolve that and make a state commission that is actually much more involved, where the governor and then the leaders of the House and Senate get to choose who is on it. We've been following this for the last couple of weeks, and I find it interesting. Not sure where the bill is right now in terms of progressing through the General Assembly. But when you heard this news, Deb, what are your thoughts?
Wow. I'll tell you, there are a few things that get my blood boiling, and this is on the list. North Carolina High School Athletic Association, been around since 1913, and in fact, it was a UNC professor, Dr. Lewis Round Wilson, who spearheaded the founding, saying that UNC should have an extension, and that extension should be around sports. So UNC gave $600 to begin the project, and in 1913, our first championships were held in high school, football and track, and then other sports were added. 1947, the new constitution was adopted, and the association left the extension. Officially, 2010, the association left its affiliation with UNC. Why do we care? Because the office, physical office, is right here in Chapel Hill, and it's led by the first black woman, Q Tucker. She took over in 2015 after Davis Whitfield moved on, and he came over from the ACC. And then most people who followed North Carolina sports know that Mr. Charlie Adams was the heart of this association, did a great job in leadership. I'm upset because, once again, it's another example of politics going haywire. The association in 1990 started an endowment. And the association now has over $40 million in its coffers. Usually when you want to do something drastic like this, it's when you have an entity that is not doing well. You're not pulling your weight. We keep having to fund you. Oh, what's the problem this time? Now we're in a situation where, and it's very apparent to many people that this is a racial issue. It's very bipartisan. Why are you going after the association right now? Even in the midst of a pandemic, when you don't even have a plan. So where it is right now, it is just passed the Senate Rules Committee. But I'm very, very hopeful that brighter minds will prevail and we will keep the association. Do we need to make some reforms and updates and change some things? Absolutely. But not right now. It is not broken. And I'm very glad that many people have said this is absurd, as in the North Carolina Coaches Association, the North Carolina Athletic Directors Association, and the National Federation of State High School Associations have all said that our association, which leads high school athletics, is one of the most respected institutions in the entire nation, and it's being emulated by other associations. That's where we are.
Yeah, it's something that we discussed on the air. I believe it was last week with the sports editor of the Chatham News and Record, because he had done a story recently talking with the athletic directors around Chatham County, and he said that their perspective largely was, well, nothing is necessarily wrong with this. We don't necessarily see any reason to immediately change it. So it seems like the main concerns are just coming out of Raleigh from the people in power. And then you read the plan that they would have in place to kind of replace this independent board. It would instead become a situation where the governor gets to choose some people to serve on the board, the House leadership and the Senate leadership get to choose some of the people who would then serve on this board. So it would very clearly become much more of an extension in some form or fashion of the General Assembly and whoever is in power at that time. And it just seems to be yet another place where some people in the General Assembly are looking to kind of stake claim. Whereas, you know, we always talk about, Deb, the whole point of why we chat is like we enjoy the overlap of sports and life and politics and all that stuff. But this is kind of using politics to directly influence how those sports are run and who gets to then help the access and the organization of sports, and especially high school sports, where it's so many people involved that it matters to so many people across the state. As you said, if it isn't broken, this certainly seems like a questionable time to try and fix things, quote unquote, fix things.
Well, you might not be able to say it, Brighton, but I can. This is just wrong. And it is very, very political. And I'm tired of, you know, people being very gentle around this. This is something that has caused harm. Everything from Republicans voting suppression. We've got bipartisan, very clear, the researchers are saying this, vaccination for the coronavirus. Whether it's income, whether it's race, whether it's gender, it's very clear that there are many Republicans who are not supporting vaccination. Then we've got the equity issues, Republicans pushing back on racial equity, pushing back on LGBTQ issues, climate change, unemployment in our state. We can look at university governance and what's going on with UNC Chapel Hill. We can talk about our teacher salaries in our state, health care. So, again, another issue that they're grabbing onto, and I believe that it is racial and it's very economic. I don't think they would be concerned with the association if there was only $500,000 in the budget. But when you've got in the endowment, but when you've got more than $40 million, people want a piece of the money. They want to control it. The other thing that's interesting here in the politics, there are 42 sponsors of this bill. 36 are Republicans. 6 Democrats, and 5 of those 6 Democrat sponsors are Black. And so I'm asking questions. Why? Who's on the take here? What are you getting out of this? But it just doesn't make any sense. And when we think about the history of North Carolina high school athletics and the success, everybody from Shea Ralph to Rusty LaRue to Michael Jordan to Phil Ford to Chris Paul to Muggsy Bogues, to Steve Smith, J.J. Redick. I mean, we can go on and on. We've got something that works. And when you're talking about more than 400 members, people in the school system, people who are administrators, people who are athletic directors, people who are coaches, who feel that everything is it's working. Why would you do this? It is it's a big, big power play in politics and Raleigh. And I'm very hopeful that more and more people, and thank you to Chapelboro and WCHL for raising this to the awareness of everybody in our listening audience.
Well, it's certainly something. We know that our audience is interested in sports, and man, parents care a whole lot about their kids playing sports. And if something happens in terms of the body that makes decisions regarding that, we know that's something that folks are going to care about. And there are so many reasons to care about it, as you just demonstrated, Deb. It'll be interesting to follow this process. And of course, as you mentioned, you know, who knows what it will look like when it gets to the actual Senate floor, and then what it will look like if it ever gets to Governor Roy Cooper. But I have a feeling that this is going to be a conversation we'll be having for a little while.
Yeah, let me just add that this is going to go into effect after this year.
Yeah.
So it's starting with the 2022.
Turnaround.
Yeah, 2023. And you're talking about you've got 12 months to prepare. Now, my understanding is that if it does get passed, then that means this year, right now, and fall sports have already started. A lot of the planning, a lot of the competitions are set. That this year they're going to have to make changes to get ready for 2022. So this is really scary. It's not good. And I'm hoping that more people pay attention to it.
Well, that is why we have conversations like these, Deb, to make sure if they are not, that they are listening up now. I appreciate you, of course, spending the time that you always do, and hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you. Everybody stay cool and continue to wear your masks. Wear your masks.